It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Maneuver off to the near circle in the Panthers zone. Cruises up the near wall, down to our right into the Boston zone. Matheson sidesteps the defender, heads in, a shot, and he scores! End to end, Mike Matheson has given the Panthers a 2-0 lead!
That is coast to coast, a little peanut butter, jelly, and toast!
Five to Sports Hub, that is the call from Florida, where they've obviously doing some kind of internship program for the announcers over there.
Oh, hey, that guy, he sounds like he's 19. I looked it up, he's 32.
Yeah, it's not a... Now, have you ever heard that coast-to-coast peanut butter and jelly on
no,
toast?
No, that's a guy by the name of Billy Lindsay that actually played with Atlanta Thrashers for a little bit. Not the play-by-play guy, the color guy. And that was... I have never heard of coast-to-coast peanut butter, jelly, and toast.
Yeah, well...
I haven't. I'll have to ask William about that.
All right, well, you had the audacity to compare the last bit we just did to last night's Bruins game.
No, I didn't. I said I really... The only thing that was probably harder, I couldn't watch you guys, but maybe to listen to than the game last night was that segment coming in.
Okay, well, I don't think you can question brilliance. In 20 years, that's going to make a lot more sense. All right, but you were probably about as negative about the team as I've seen you last evening.
I'm not being smart. You really thought I was negative about the team? Or just honest
their performance. Negativity can be honest, Billy. I mean, you were being
they caught things have caught up to him. At least it appeared last night. Like the Detroit game had moments of, you know, I not question their effort at all. I found that they just didn't execute against Detroit, and that's going to happen. Okay, 82 games, that's going to happen, especially when you're playing people outside their comfort zone, outside their capabilities, outside their experience level, so to speak. And, you know, let's get this out of the way, okay? This isn't an excuse, it's reality. They're still in a whole lot of hurt because of the injuries. But last night's game, I'd said this for the last week or so, I said, this type of game's coming. How do you handle it? They just had nothing last night. They just looked tired. They looked mentally drained. They looked like they knew that as soon as they were down, that third goal especially, they knew that they were done. And it's catching up to them right now. Now, with all that said, I don't know what the hell they do, because unless something outside of a big shakeup trade, this is what they've got for now. And that's maybe the hard part, because you say, man, they've busted their ass in the first. I mean, without Chara and just using those two guys, Chara and Bergeron, they're still 4-3-1 in their eight games. And you're like, that's pretty darn good, because we've been saying all along, get to 500 in this 5-week stretch. Get to 500 with regard to points. So in theory, they're there. This one just doesn't feel good. Now, the big question is, how do they respond tomorrow? That is the biggest question of them all. But last night, the truth is, it caught up to them. It being the injuries, it being the lack of, they've never had a third line center. So that caught up to them last night too. Average, you know, their goaltending's been great, but their goaltending wasn't great last night. And yes, they've had a few bad games, but I'm talking in general. Couldn't save them last night. So it wasn't a good performance. Now you got to respond against the best team in the league.
All right. Do you think they did, Jones was talking about this earlier, do you think that they did enough in the offseason? Looking at the situation now, and I know you can't predict injuries, but you mentioned they don't have a third line center.
With regard to defense, do I think they did enough? I mean, they procured 8 NHL defensemen. You can't have 10. You can't have 10 on one-way contracts. So did they do enough? I think so. Yes, take your comment of you can't predict injuries. So I think, you know, they did I think defensively they did. Offensively, no. Offensively, would have loved to have seen him get a third-line center. I can't see them paying Riley Nash 2.79 or whatever he got, 2.75 from Columbus.
Because that's the same situation you kind of got in with Shirelli when you're overpaying guys in those positions.
Overvaluing guys in that position. And I liked I really liked Riley Nash. Great for Riley. He's having an awful year right now in Columbus. I don't even know if he has. Does he have two goals yet? I mean, point is this. You couldn't make that contract. Would I have loved to see them develop? Or they were hoping that JFK, Frederick, Stunichka, the kid who's back in juniors, you knew that, you know, that was a hope. That I think they would admit that, too. That was a hope that they would have. Right now, to me, you've got two huge question marks up front. Take the Bergeron injury out of it. You got to get a third-line center. You've got to. It's becoming... It was already a major factor, and it's becoming even more of a factor right now. Okay, that's one thing. And two, you've got to figure out, I still think you got to figure out a way to move DeBrusque back to the left side with Krejci and get a different right wing. Now, if I had to choose one or the other, right now it's a coin flip. I just get me something. It's an easy job sitting in this chair, but that's why, you know, GM's got to, and management got to figure that out.
Those weren't hard to see coming, right? Like, those are issues that they have today and they had in the offseason. So, like, we were talking about this earlier. This is good. Wallach and I were squawking back and forth at each other about, Jeff Skinner moved this offseason. Like, they tried on Tavares. They tried on Kovalchuk.
Which thankfully, they didn't get Kovalchuk. Thankfully.
Right.
That three-year deal. You want to talk about an abyss of a deal
hurt,
as well.
Right.
Well, now he's hurt. He's hurt, and because he isn't being played by the new coach in L.A. He's on the fourth line. So now he has a four-week minimum condition or situation he had to get fixed in his ankle.
Oh, I see. So you're saying he's maybe sitting it out a little bit.
No, I think that he's saying, you know what, I'm not feeling great and I'm not playing a lot, and so I'm going to get this taken care of now.
Got it.
Okay. So, Willie DeJardin is not playing. Go on.
So they didn't get Kovalchuk. They didn't get Tavares, but at least they tried on those guys. Were they in on Skinner? Were they in on Hoffman? Were they in on some of these guys who are top six guys?
I don't know if they're in on any of them. And Skinner to me is an interesting one. I wasn't high on him just for his lack of defensive awareness. I mean, it was last couple of years was very marginal. People say, well, he can score. Yeah, he when he wants to. I mean, last year with Carolina, there were times where he was just on the perimeter. Look, I tip my hat to him. He's playing for a contract right now. He is. He's in the last year of his deal. He's playing for a contract. And he's having the time of his life in Buffalo because they're playing with passion. And they're playing with that funness that you get when you've been an awful team for 8 years in a row. And now all of a sudden you're winning and people are coming back. I give him credit. Were they in on Hoffman? Hoffman became, I don't know, Hoffman was that very interesting situation out of Ottawa where there was that lot of off-ice situation along with Eric Carlson and his wife. And now Hoffman gets traded. It was a three-way deal, if you remember. So I don't know.
Traded for like, they just wanted to get rid of him, and they basically took what the first offer came along, correct?
Yeah, like sitting more in or less. San Jose held him.
They wanted to get rid of him quickly. They got pennies on the dollar for him.
Right. San Jose took him, and then Doug Wilson in San Jose flipped him to Florida.
Right.
And so were they in with San Jose? I don't know. Ottawa, my guess is, wasn't going to trade Mike Hoffman
in the division.
Until a third party.
But he ended up in the division.
Exactly. I still go back to, I'm telling you, I said this on your show in September, when I came in here the first time, that third line center spot, still to me. I mean, you're trying to get Nordstrom, who's doing everything possibly he can, but he's better as a fourth line or third or fourth line winger. I mean, that's just what he is.
Right.
So this is you match so much better when your third line can take significant opportunities away from the first and second line, meaning defensive opportunities or options away, and they haven't been able to get that.
All right, what about McAvoy? He's now practicing. He's been out an awful long time.
Yeah.
Is there frustration that you're seeing in the organization? Is there any you can't say anything with head injuries, but is this going on a little longer than expected?
I think, Fred, because of the whole unknown of it, it's gone on long. It's not maybe longer than unexpected. But this is probably pretty obvious, longer than hoped. He made comments, what was it, Saturday night, right, when he spoke to the media at TD Garden about how there have been some really good days and some positive, and I'm paraphrasing here, and then there have been some others that haven't, and, you know, he's just hoping to keep taking those next steps. Well, 2 days later, he's taking those next steps. After I heard those comments, I read them first because I couldn't do the – I wasn't at the media availability. It was in-game, so it was hard to do. But once I read them and I heard a little of them, I'm thinking to myself, okay, he looks good. But, man, he said a few things that I'm not sure about. Like, is he going to be able to come back? And then he's back, meaning he's back in full contact. So the big frustration about head injuries is that you don't know. I think that there's hope that this is – he's being around the team so much the last couple of weeks. He's participating in certain things. There's hope that this is it. Whether it is or not, we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, frustration I don't think is the right word. Consternation. Because when you don't have – you're trusting – you're waiting for that player to tell you, wow, I really feel like I can giddy and go. I can do it. And when you don't hear that, you're just kind of like, well, you know, well, we can't get into his head, literally and figuratively, with these situations. We don't know. This is a, you know, Bruce Cassidy didn't rule him out 100%, he said, for Thursday.
He didn't seem happy when he talked about him the last time that he publicly spoke about him. If you listen to it, he sounded frustrated.
Well, I'm sure that there, you love the player. You want him to be healthy. You see him. That's the thing about the head injuries. There's no cast. There's no nut. You see that person there, and you see them skating, and you see them participating. You're like, we need you. But you also know you can't say, we need you to get back in at all costs, because that would be irresponsible, too. I'm going to guess, without being inside Bruce's emotions, I'm going to guess that there is some, you know, again, there's some desire, understatement, to have him back in the lineup, and maybe there's frustration that goes along in that.
How long is it going to take him to get up to speed? Long time.
Well, he's been busting his butt and skating, Fred, for a while.
I know.
I'm going to hope that this is what I was going to say. This is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, I said this on the air too, without knowing anything insider. I mean, my guess is that if he practices today, which he should, and he'll skate tomorrow, which I'd expect. If there's no setbacks, maybe Saturday, because if he has full contact today again, he can get something on the ice tomorrow. I don't know if they'll practice on Friday. That's a long flight, and it's a 7:38 start in Tampa, and I don't know if they practice on Friday before their game Saturday. I said this on the air. I said, to me, the earliest I could see him coming back would be Saturday. But again, I'm just sitting here pontificating on somebody's head injury, or, you know, how they feel coming back.
Right. He's been gone an awful long time.
Was it 6 weeks now?
Yeah, and he's been flying with the team, and he's been skating, and he's been in good spirits, and you could hear Cassidy saying, well, you know, when I talk to him, he's fine. I mean, you could hear him to saying it. I mean, it just seems like a long time. That's all. That is all.
How about Vaakanainen, by the way? You've heard nothing about him. The kid, he was playing well his first few games with the Bruins. He gets elbowed right in the face by Borowiecki. Remember the guy from Ottawa?
Yeah, who then
comes back.
Immediately got suspended.
Yeah,
right?
Two games. That's it. Two games. Meanwhile, they're like, and they were. This is what pisses me off about that. I know that player safety, they went back and forth. I guarantee you there were one or two guys, because I thought this is at least a three-gamer. I mean, you know, Borowiecki doesn't have a history, blah, 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 but he plays a style that he does. Anyway, two games, the guy got leveled. I mean, elbowed right in the head. You could see him look at the guy, gave him an elbow. Now this guy's out since, what is it, 5 weeks now? And there doesn't seem to be any end in sight. He's not practicing regularly. He tried to come back. Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. This is the exact type of hit that the league wanted to get out.
You have a passionate Billy Jaffe in studio today.
I need more coffee.
I like this.
He's stuck in traffic. He's not happy about that.
Ask him his opinion on the home building of the Florida Panthers. He's got stuff for
the days. Ice sucks.
The ice sucks. Why the hell did they build it there?
There's nobody there.
It's like an hour from Miami.
Your traffic. Yeah, it's an hour.
Freeland. They had Freeland in that area in Sunrise. There's a big mall next to it that is a. It's a. They think it's fancy. It's
Which
not.
Is the wave it's, of the future, by the way, or malls.
Yes, I know. I know.
It's the only thing for miles, that mall.
I want a hotel. So, right? There's nothing that's going to live forever than malls. If there was only a place where I could find everything I need. Oh, the computer.
Yeah, there's that building. There's a mall. There's a hotel. And then there's the Everglades. Right?
Yeah, so they've Sawgrass. I think it's called the Sawgrass Mill.
TBC
right.
Sawgrass.
Right. So and it's in Sunrise, Florida. They had Freeland. Yes, there's a whole big issue many, many years ago. The outside of the building, fellas, it's nice looking. It's really nice. The inside isn't even bad. It's just it's generic and it's whatever. I'm more concerned about it's always the lack of fans and it's the lack of atmosphere. They bring it down to make it colder in there, so they try and eliminate the issues with the ice. It was both teams, and by the way, Florida had issues with it too. So don't give me crap that, oh, Florida did better. They did do better, but I'm saying it was an ugly game for a while because the passing, and you saw many players blow tires, you know, fall down. It's just an atmospheric thing down there. I get why players want to play there. I do.
See, I don't.
Here's, well, let me explain. It's like in Atlanta when we were there.
Yeah, but there's Atlanta's a certain a big element city
of,
with the. With
oh,
the,
it is not. Stop it. It's not a big city.
My point being, not for hockey.
Okay.
But it's a big city with the downtown arena. At least there's something to do. If you live in Miami, you got an hour commute to and
well,
from
the
rink.
Well, they felt that there was people outside of that downtown area where they did this studies and everything that would say they live more in certain areas, the Broward County, et cetera. So they move it to that area. And again, free stuff. It was given to them.
No, I understand
so
that.
Okay. So with regard to players, some players do not, you know, they relish this opportunity. They not forget going to the rink in shorts. We all would like that, I think. Let's admit that. That would be nice. But it's the anonymity that they can live in. I mean, I would personally, I would want a Boston. That's the type of person I am. A Boston, New York, a Pitt, a Chicago, a Toronto. I understand it's heavy duty. I understand you can't go out to eat and it's not always pleasant. But you know what? That's fun. That's passion. There are a lot of players that are like, dude, this is unbelievable. I'm playing golf at 2 o'clock every day. I can go walk around. Nobody really knows who I am. Nobody really bothers me. My kids do this and that. It's not a problem. And they're fine. I'm telling you, Freddie, in Atlanta, there were guys that would tell me, like, yeah, you know what? I leave practice rink. It's awesome. It's great. They they loved it.
If I'm 23 and I want to get laid, I don't want to be in some retirement community without a person under the age of 30 for 50 miles.
There's a whole subculture of guys that like him older, Fred.
Oh, that's the MILF movement.
It's beyond
now
that.
You've gone to there to GILF.
Yeah, right. I know.
And the GILF movement is very contained. Not a lot of women of that age willing to do hardcore pornography. Much to my consternation. I'm starting a charity to try to get more GILFs involved.
And they're
in the
mostly
game.
Down in Florida.
Yes, they are. All right, Billy Jaffe's here. We're going to have Bird and Nick come in and do some more impressions. The whole thing's going on. We'll be right back.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson's studio. That Mark from Medford, it always calls in when it's about the Bruins. Mark, hello, sir.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey.
Billy, aside for the beatdown they took against Washington the first game of the season, that was most definitely the worst loss of the Bruins season.
Yeah, you know.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, you know, the place was less than half full, okay? There was probably more Bruins fans there than Panthers fans.
Usually are.
You know. And you're supposed to go in there and beat that team with no crowd support, no fan support.
Wait, no.
You should have went in there and beat that.
Well, it'd be nice. Yeah, it'd be nice. It's tough atmosphere. I mean, you know, they couldn't get going. They could not.
No, but what I want to get to is, you know, Halak kept him in that game last night when it was 1-0.
Yep.
And you let Matheson skate 200 feet.
Yep.
They looked like they were standing still, watching him go right by them and pick the top corner on Halak. I felt bad for him last night. Got no support in front of him whatsoever.
Yeah, that second goal and then the third goal, the one where it went through him, the Huberdeau shot from the left side right there, that you could tell by Yarrow's frustration, slamming of the stick on the ice, that was an emotionally challenging moment right there in the game for the Bees. But the Matheson goal, you know, there's no ceiling off of the wall by both. First on the back check by Donato, and then Torrey Krug gets caught flat-footed. That, to me, is such an indicator. I'm telling you, you feel that. You know it, where you say they don't have legs. They don't have it. They can't get it going, and they haven't been able to find a way to work through it. And you've got to find a way to work through it. And they'll all tell you, look, we're pros. You know, we're NHLers. We need to be better. But they just weren't. I was watching guys go off the ice, and, you know, when we'd have the cameras on them tighter, they actually look to be just breathing heavy, you know, heavier. Sometimes you go into an rink, and anybody who's played at any level understands this. You go into a certain rink or a certain game, and when you look, you're just not feeling it, and you're heavy. Your legs are, like, literally in sand, it feels like. And
maybe the crowd had inspired them by their canes and
oxygen tanks.
It was awful at the start of the game. We had the crowd shot at the opening, a seat shot at the beginning of the game. And it was, there was probably 7,000 there to begin, maybe 8.
Is there something to that trip? And I just remember, we were looking this up actually earlier in the show. Like 2014-15, they had two games down in Florida at the end of the year, Tampa and Florida, and they failed miserably on that trip. Is there something to that trip where, like, you know, you said earlier, guys can get their golf in.
Yeah, but not on this. I mean, guys, like, I'm talking about guys that live down there and get their golf in. On this trip in general, sometimes if you have
guys aren't bringing their clubs down there.
Oh, hell no. No. They're leaving. No. No. I don't even think the broadcasters are, you know, because it's a one-dayer.
But Calgary is the place where they lose it.
Well, Calgary, if you have a day off there, you have a good time. Vancouver, you can go out and have a good time.
What is the worst? Because every time I talk to someone involved with hockey, they say that Calgary is their favorite place.
Really?
Yes.
Stampede? They like the Stampede?
I usually hear that. I mean, look, it depends where you're going. You're a Western team and you get to come east, New York City, a lot of times guys get – there are teams now that are getting 5 days at the same hotel in New York.
Oh.
Because what they're doing is they're playing the Isles, the Devils, the Rangers over a 5 or 6 day period. So they put them in a, you know, either in like the Wall Street area, what's it called, Battery Park. There's a beautiful hotel, Ritz, down there. Or they stay up near the park and they anchor down for 5 days. There have been teams from the West that are doing that. And so they love that. But Freddie, it depends where you're from. I used to love going out to Vancouver. That was, to me, beautiful city. And by the way, Seattle's coming in. That's going to be a great rival with them.
And the strip clubs in Vancouver, because the Canadian
The Montreal was the creme de la creme.
Well, Montreal
was. That was the best. It's bad now.
Why?
I don't know.
It's
the
full
last
contact till the day is long.
No.
It's full contact.
Maybe certain. I'm telling you, the best places in Montreal were more, the half of the customers were women, just normal, everyday women.
That's Atlanta.
Used to be, right?
In Atlanta, because I worked 7 to midnight and bars were open till 4, like half the people at strip clubs were women.
Were. Okay, I'm telling you, in Montreal, they were, my first strip club in Montreal at 16. Okay, I was done playing in a tournament up there. We lost in the semifinals. I was playing for my team from Chicago. My buddy and I, his family and I, we were in Drummondville, which is about 45, 50 minutes outside the city. We said, all right, we're done. Our parents said, let's go into Montreal for the night. We're like, okay, sure. We're 16, literally.
Right.
Well, next thing you know, they're out to dinner having a good time. They're like, all right, now listen, you guys be careful. Well, we were careful. We hit everything we could possibly. We carefully hit every area we could go to. And next thing you know, we're coming back to the hotel. We tried getting another room at the Ritz. Didn't work out too well because they called our parents and asked if that was okay. So I'm having flashbacks right now when we were 16 doing that stuff. But
you went to a strip club at 16?
Yeah, it's
normal. Did your head explode?
It was unbelievable.
If I went to a strip club at 16, like I might have dehydrated. I might have needed to be put on an IV.
How about that?
It was the whole night was unbelievable. The next thing you know, it was great. So fast forward to now going to Montreal regularly for the NHL. We're there with all the teams. You know, I've been with Atlanta and New York, and you're there. And I've been there for playoff games galore for when the old Versus and NBC Sports. And the strip clubs have gone from being socially, like, acceptable fun nights out and unbelievably entertaining, really, to where I went to. I'm not exaggerating. I haven't gone to one there in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because the last time I went, I was like, ugh. It's gone that sleaze factor.
Well, it's full contact.
I don't think so.
I think you should share more of this between periods. I think you and Dale should bat this back and forth.
Dale's like,
I think that would be great. Just the awesome theater.
Well, you go to Mons Venus.
So what do you think about Mons Venus?
Mons Venus down in Tampa.
You go to Mons Venus with a pair of mesh shorts on. And
Billy, Mons, I want is more gone of this.
Yeah.
The problem with this
is what you get when the Bruins don't play well.
I wanted this during the game last night.
The problem with Mons Venus is that it's all out in the open. So you have to be a bit of a...
I thought that there was a full stop at Mons at least 7 years ago now where there's a 3-foot line. Again, I have not been there, and I'm not kidding. I was there years and years and years ago when I was with, I believe it was, I was still doing Atlanta. Maybe with the Isles. I don't know. I think for Atlanta, for sure. which is a long time ago. And I think that there's a, I think there's like a no fly zone now there.
Yeah, I think that, the owner got in trouble.
That's an understatement down there.
The last time I was there was in the 90s.
There you go. Me too.
Wait, so what's the deal? You're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. You got to be like a bit of an exhibitionist.
There at Mons Venus, because super dark, but there's not like, to my knowledge, there wasn't rooms. But in Atlanta, there was rooms inside of rooms inside of rooms.
See, I only went to the one, the Cheetah in Atlanta.
Cheetah's too big. The Cheetah took me there one time, and then they said, hey, we're going to put you in VIP. I said, fine. And then they go, we're going to put you in this other VIP. And they opened up the door, and it was a white bar with white walls, a white ceiling, and a white floor with a bartender. And it was just me and my friend, and we're like, why are we here? Like, what is the...
What's so VIP about this?
What is the point that there's not one nude woman in here? Like what is the point of being in here? And I like that the Cheetah built, like, a really nice steakhouse.
Right. Oh, yeah. What did they call
it? I forget.
So I went there one night. Victoria and I went there. It was Atlanta. And, you know, you went out. Whatever. We went there. And the reason we only went there one night, that some couple, like, from, like, Rhineland or Wisconsin was there, and they were trying to... You know, like we nicknamed them Fred and Martha. You know, they were very friendly. They were too friendly.
Yeah.
So we just said, okay, we're going. It was we just said, okay, let's. What was the other one? Solid Gold? Was that the other one?
No, Gold Club is where they caught all the Knicks. Sex.
Yeah, I never went.
You
went
to Tattletales because you went with that famous Jimmy Barron bachelor party.
Oh God, you're right. I forgot about. But I was watching Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because he was just a puddle.
Yeah.
And he goes,
Jeff is leaving.
Yeah, Jeff is leaving.
Yep.
He had to be there.
I mean, you used to hang out at strip clubs in Atlanta. It's just what you did.
I forgot that I went to that one. That was awful.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it. Jaffe used to bring, and this is how we'll end the interview. Jaffe had season tickets to the Thrashers. He's this guy I used to do a show with. And not only was he vegetarian, he was also kept kosher. So you could eat nothing.
Oh.
So he would...
Pain in the ass to go out with.
I mean, he could eat nothing.
Yeah.
And so he finally dumped being a vegetarian, but he...
He was skinny fat, though.
Oh, yeah, because
he ate nothing. He ate, like, kiddie food, like 8-year-old food.
Yeah, and so he would bring a lunch bag, like a brown paper bag with a peanut butter sandwich and an orange to the Thrashers games. And he was behind the goal, and you would just see him eating a peanut, like a 4-year-old.
Yes.
He brought a packed lunch to a game.
Like the crust cut off.
Oh, God, yes, and he'd be peeling the orange and this and that.
Yeah, and he could eat at like one restaurant. A vegetarian place that kept kosher.
Yeah, that's it. I think he's hardcore meat now, though, by the way.
No, I know, because he had to dump being vegetarian because it was too tough.
And it wasn't going well for him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Billy, great to see you. I learned a lot.
Didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen, tomorrow night, 7:30 against Tampa, Saturday, Sunday, brutal weekend. You got Toronto Saturday and then back on the road to Ottawa for a Sunday game again at 5 against a team that's playing pretty well. Let's hope Charlie McAvoy comes back. Let's hope he's healthy enough to do that.
All right. Thank you so much for the time, Mr. Billy Jaffe.
Hey, guys.
We will be back with the stack. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, the stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. And every night, Dan O'Brien sends us stories that we can talk about on the air. And I saw myself on that bike in studio, and I realized how fat I was. And I weighed myself, and it was the first time I'd weighed myself in like a year, and I went, oh, Jesus. I was...
219, you said.
Yeah, which is 11 pounds heavier than I'd ever weighed in my life.
Where are you now?
I am 215 and a half.
Okay.
Hey.
And heading back in the right direction?
Yeah. Tracking what I'm eating. Not you know what kills the diet is alcohol. And so, which is a shame.
By the way, I just want to say that's the best segment I think Billy's ever had on this radio station.
Well, listen, right there. When you get a phone call that's asking about a particular goal in a Tuesday night game in December, I think...
I'm not even not being stupid right here.
So I've been, you know, you poke around, you see ways of... Because I've always worked out, but obviously it hasn't been consistent enough or I was doing something wrong. I've had trainers, but obviously my diet was bad enough where it wasn't happening. So I started looking into these things, and there's stuff like intermittent fasting. There's stuff that...
that if you train without eating, that it affects your body a different way, more so than that you're burning fat and you're not just burning the carbohydrates. There's ketotine or whatever the hell, keto, whatever it is, where you have tons more. Most of your diet should be fat.
The keto diet, that
keto
one?
Keto diet. Yeah. Most of your diet should be fat.
Like Vinny.
Vinny has to pee on. He's got to pee on something. He's still keto. You got. I like you,
yep.
Jones.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with you.
Little pee stick.
I think
see,
that he
see
might
how keto. He is.
Yeah. Keto Guido. He calls himself.
Yep.
So then I was saw this thing. It was the Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He got like completely ripped this season for the show, and I heard a podcast where he's talking about how he did it, and part of it was he needed 9 hours of sleep a night. If you look at anyone who trains like for a living, they say you need 9 hours of sleep
Brady.
A night. Yeah, Brady, you got to have all this. By the way, good job with that TB12 for Gronkowski. And that's a position you want to be nice and lean in. And with the flexibility, I'll tell you, you know, who cares about power? But now I've been sent this, that the recommended amount of sleep for adults is 6 to 8 hours a night. Sleeping more than those hours is associated with increased risk of death and cardiovascular diseases.
Oh, boy.
And it says over 8 hours increased the risk of major cardiovascular events like stroke and heart failure, as well as death of 41%. But a possible reason for this could be people who have underlying conditions causing them to sleep longer. Maybe, like, they're sick. So... Now, no, in all honesty, is anything right? Because I was watching the Santa Claus with my children, and it's when Tim Allen is getting fat and he's turning into Santa, and they go into the executive dining room, and he, of course, eats a bunch of cookies.
Uh-huh.
And the guy says, just pasta, darling, to the waitress. Now, if you ate pasta, that would be considered a terrible meal. But 20 years ago, that was about as healthy as you could eat. Then they said, oh, it's all about fat, and you can't eat red meat, and don't do this, and don't do that. But then it turns out that you can't eat carbohydrates, but you got to eat meat, because meat is the protein, and then it burns and doesn't store as fat, or whatever else is going on. Then they said, oh, drink wine, and wine's good for you. But now they say any amount of wine isn't good for you. In all honesty, is there any evidence of anything? Is there anything that's, like, real?
Well, what are you talking about? You can't sleep less than 6, and you can't sleep more than 8. Anything? There's just a perfect window where you can sleep, and anything else is unhealthy.
Your body, after sleeping for 9 hours, and if that's what your body wants to do, you're going to die?
Yep,
you have a 41% more chance of dying?
Yep, killing yourself.
Based on getting a nice rest?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you heard 8 hours? And how many times have you heard people in our profession live shorter lives because of the lack of sleep they get?
How many hours do you sleep on vacation? What's your sleep schedule like on vacation?
I sleep 12 hours a day.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
In some way, shape, or form. I might sleep 9 hours
and then get
a three-hour nap.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good.
Yes, because I like to do is sleep.
I mean, besides the whole apparently you're killing yourself thing, but yes, I'd say.
I'm killing myself apparently in so many ways, it's unbelievable. Like, the way I'm fat, which is I have no ass, no legs, no arms, the way I'm fat is my stupid gut, and apparently that's got some Corderol or something in it that gives you a heart attack.
Presses on the organs. I've heard commercials for this.
Well, sure. It all presses on, everything presses on the organs. They don't get anything right. Like, nothing's right. People used to do the grapefruit 45 diet. People used to do the ab roller.
Yep.
Which is now like, you're not even supposed to do that anymore.
Is that right? That's out now?
By the way, you're not supposed to do sit-ups anymore.
Well, you can't do too many, yeah.
No, you're not supposed to do the act of sit-ups.
Oh, you can't
sit-ups.
Do any.
No, you're supposed to do crunches, and even that's getting out of vogue.
I see.
Now there's planks and side planks, and there's a bunch of, and lay on your back, and bicycle kicks, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, don't do too many push-ups. Don't do that.
My God. And all this not drinking shenanigans?
Yeah. David,
go ahead.
I can help you. If you really want to change your body, I'm not being facetious here either. I'm almost 60. I don't have a six-pack. I got a freaking eight-pack. Never mind bouncing a quarter off my stomach. When it comes back up in the air, it's going to take somebody's eye. I'll probably kill him. Here's the point. And you're right in every single thing you're saying. chocolate's bad for you, chocolate's good for you. Wine's bad for you, wine's good for you. Those extra 4 hours of sleep you're getting every day, my friend, I turn you into a machine.
All right.
Really, when it comes to exercise and getting your body in shape, everybody out there has something, you know, everybody, oh, you're going to do this and do that. And
really what it comes right down to it, the basic principle is this: consistency in your workout, intensity while you're working out. That means no one's jibber-jabber and come get the hell away from you. And it's not what you eat, it's how much of what you eat. You can still have a semi-trashy diet that includes alcohol and still hit your goals. You can still do that.
Yeah, look at Jaffe. Really? He's out there telling, well, listen, I want to see a picture of you naked. But not you, Jaffe. I've seen you. But that's the thing, is they're like, diet sodas are bad for you because they make you fat. How can something with no calories make you fat?
Sugar's involved, maybe?
There's no sugar in diet soda.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Aspartame, you don't want that.
Is that right? Yeah.
How many people are dying from aspartame?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, people watch documentaries and they go crazy. Like, they eat an entirely plant-based diet, and then you see people with a plant-based diet, and they're fat. And then when you stop eating sugar, it's miserable. Have you ever taken like a break from like eating sugar?
Sure.
And it feels like you've got mono.
Yes.
Yeah. You're just like you have no energy.
Because you detox immediately. Yeah. There's no gradual. It's just one day you just stop.
Yes.
And by noon that day you feel like crap.
Yes. And you're like your head hurts.
Oh.
And you're exhausted.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Withdrawals.
Maybe you need sugar. Maybe your body's telling you that you need it. 8 hours of sleep. Get over 8 hours of sleep. You know what? They went into a hospice and they said, oh, these people were in bed for 14 hours, 16 hours a day. What a stupid study. I mean, really. Like, chances are if I'm in bed 16, 17, 18 hours a day, things aren't going well for me.
All these personal trainers listening to the show, you're wrong, like that last guy.
But nine.
Well, no, the guy last guy made sense because, yes, it's a difference in calories. I'm not talking about getting like shred, like getting huge,
right?
Where you got to eat like 10 meals of
just
eggs
healthy
and everything.
Just healthy.
Healthier. You know, you want your BMI at a decent level. You want to, get your cholesterol in check.
Yeah. Want the ladies to give you a glance.
Oh, that's long gone. I really don't even think of that.
Hey, there he is.
I've honestly, that doesn't occur to me. I haven't even had a mild flirtatious exchange with a woman for 9 years.
It's pretty good.
Like really, I have not even had a like mild flirtatious, like something that was never going to lead to anywhere. Just even like a little like rom-com diggly-doo in 9 years. Believe me, the last thing I'm concerned about is my body. I got to make a lot of money to make up for that. Ridiculous. Well, if you want to see us, we're on Twitch every morning. Hopefully you got up before you got that 8.5 hours sleep tonight. Have you ever had a doctor tell you you're sleeping too much?
Never.
No, the guy just was advocating for more sleep. The guy with the 8 pack.
Well, every time that they tell you that if you're working out, you need to sleep. They say it's nutrition, exercise, and sleep.
Does Brady
those
talk
are
today?
Three things.
They should ask Brady about this. Brady's a big sleep advocate.
No, Brady's always later in the week.
He's got,
but I mean, think about his
he's
two.
Got, he's got little sleep jammies.
His two
to help
buddies.
Us, to help
his,
us sleep.
His two buddies. You know, Gronk did. But Gronk is struggling all year, and Edelman's been struggling too.
Well, Gronk.
Did they ever convince Jules to go on it? I remember during Tom versus Time that it was very much up in the air.
I don't know. All I know is that if you're Gronkowski, the last thing you want to do is stop lifting weights. By the way, we're on Twitch every morning. Visit Twitch TV and search the Sports Hub and watch the show live.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win.
FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.